Till the storm passes by. What a precious song that is. Brings back many memories from my childhood. Aren't you thankful that we can trust the Lord through the storms of life? Thank you so much, Brother Ken, and also Emmeline, and all of those who have participated in our music service tonight, drawing our hearts and minds to the Lord. Well, at this time, it's our good pleasure and honor to introduce to you our missionaries from Puerto Rico, Jeremy and Laura Markle, and also their family, Jeremiah, Juliana, and Joshua. And they are serving the Lord there in Puerto Rico. They are from Baptist World Missions, and we were able to fellowship with them for a few moments just before the service tonight, and we have been so encouraged by their heart for the Lord and their enthusiasm for the ministry. So at this time, Brother Jeremy is going to come and he is going to minister to our hearts.
Thank you, Pastor. It is my privilege to be with you all here this evening. Very different than was anticipated some a year ago when we scheduled being with you all. But God has His plan. God has His purpose. And with that plan and purpose, we want to make sure that we're following in His steps. And so as we're here with you this evening, some of you will recall that our family and our ministry has gone through some of those storms that have passed us by. Some 3 years ago, being faced with Hurricane Maria. We recently have had our feet shaken as Puerto Rico continues to be affected by earthquakes. In fact, there was a psalm that came to mind as we were listening to some of those songs, a psalm that we have actually shared with our church. And I'll just share with you briefly, it's Psalm 46. The Bible says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time, help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the water thereof roar, and be it troubled, though the mountains shake with a swelling thereof. At the end of that psalm, and you can continue to read, we have a very interesting statement. It's a very common statement that we as believers understand and even use from time to time. But to think that this very psalm that is only 11 verses long starts with the earth moving from underneath us, our lives being affected, and all that we're doing seeming to be turned upside down. It ends with this statement in verse number 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. You know, I realize that tonight we are disappointed as a family that we are not personally with you. We would love to see your smiling faces and feel your handshakes, as we have in the years past when we have visited, and it has been refreshing for us. But here tonight, even though our world in one sense or another has been shaken, it has been turned upside down, I'm thankful that I can encourage you, and it will be my goal throughout our testimony time as well as throughout the opening of God's Word, to encourage you that God hasn't been shaken. And God is still with us. And so we can be still. That is to mean that we can be calm and we can have peace no matter what comes our way. Now for our family, as was already mentioned, we have faced some things in the last 3 years. And our ministry has faced some things. And so what I'd like to do is provide for you through this digital format a video that we normally would have presented here in the auditorium with you all, but you can watch it there and enjoy it. It's about 7.5 minutes long. It's an update on our ministry. It includes the hurricane, but I'll fill you in a little bit about the earthquakes after it's all done, because those earthquakes started taking place after my video was already done being recorded. But why don't we take a few moments? Let's go ahead and watch the video. It will give you an update on our ministry. Hopefully, this isn't just an introduction to our ministry, but we can honestly and obviously answer more questions. Pastor has opened that opportunity by using Facebook Live. If you'd like to present some questions, you can feel free to do so. Then I have to talk about those questions here and just answer your questions to get to know us a little bit better if you're not familiar with us to this point. This video in particular focuses on the last 4 years of our ministry there in Puerto Rico. So let's go ahead and see if technology will help us out and work along the path that we desire it to tonight.
Christ invites the undeserving, leave your nets and follow me, watching, hearing, loving, serving, slaves of Christ are truly.
In Jesus Christ's final words before his ascension into heaven, he commanded his disciples to go forth preaching his gospel, teaching his word, and testifying of his works throughout all of the world. Hello, my name is Jeremy Markle. My wife Laura and our three children, Jeremiah, Juliana, and Joshua, have been committed to fulfilling the Great Commission in Puerto Rico since 2006. Since our arrival, our primary focus has been the local church ministry of Iglesia Bautista de la Fe in the town of Juana Díaz. It has been our privilege to preach the gospel both in public and in private so that the Puerto Rican people might learn of God's message of salvation. We have also enjoyed opportunities to help fellow believers become dedicated disciples of Jesus Christ through personal Bible studies. We praise the Lord for the spiritual fruit that he has produced and pray for an even greater harvest in the future. On September 20th, 2017, Puerto Rico and our ministry suffered the devastating effects of Hurricane Maria. In the days, weeks, and months following, it was God's abundant grace that allowed our family and church members to not only survive the daily trials, but also thrive in turning those trials into ministry opportunities. Following the hurricane, the Disaster Relief Ministry of Operation Renewed Hope flew private planes into the local airport in order to provide us with sufficient supplies to care for our family, our church members, and also help with some of the physical needs in our town. One of our relief efforts was the coastal community of Manzanillo, which had been flooded several times by both a storm surge as well as an overflowing river. While in Manzanillo, we not only delivered the hope of needed food and water, but also the spiritual hope only found in Jesus Christ. God also led us to print 50,000 tracts to be distributed across the island to offer spiritual hope for all those in despair. We were later invited to several community information fairs to offer Christian literature to all those in attendance. Although the hurricane did cause damage to our church property and building, after months of needed repairs and relocating our services to the second floor of our building, we held a special dedication service in our newly renovated auditorium on November 3rd, 2019. We are so very grateful for each individual and church that participated in our life and ministry during this time through their prayers, gifts, and physical assistance. In Acts 1:8, Jesus Christ instructed his disciples that their ministry would reach to the uttermost parts of the earth. For our family, God has begun to expand our ministry influence across the island and into other Latin American countries. In 2012,
I was asked to be the director of the Children's Camp program that ministers to young people from sister churches across the island. Summer camp is a time of food, fun, and fellowship. It is also a time of spiritual growth through the singing, preaching, and studying of God's Word. God has also continued to expand our ministry influence through speaking engagements in other local churches, including marriage conferences, ladies' events, and an island-wide conference. Through the encouragement of fellow pastors and missionaries, we have also begun Walking in the Word Ministries for the purpose of distributing some of our biblical literature to those who are interested in growing in their spiritual walk. Since 2012, I have had the privilege of teaching missions and youth ministry courses at Puerto Rico Baptist College. In 2019, Laura began teaching a practical ladies' ministry course. Through teaching at Puerto Rico Baptist College, we have seen our ministry once again expand throughout Latin America as each student returns to their home country to serve God by proclaiming His Word. In 2017, God gave me the privilege of visiting some of my former students in Colombia. While there, I was able to participate in the ordination of Mauricio. Mauricio and his wife Melanie are church planting in Mauricio's hometown of Ibagué. I also visited with Christian and Cynthia, who are church planting in Bogotá. What a thrill it was to see the biblical truths that we have taught in the classroom be put into practice in each of these families and ministries. In 2019, I took Jeremiah to the Dominican Republic for his first missions trip. While there, we visited with fellow Baptist World Mission missionaries, the Pittman, Bell, and DeWalt families, who are church planting in the city of Puerto Plata. Our time there was spent in physical labor, the preaching of God's Word, and Christian fellowship. It was a blessing to see how God is working in other parts of the world and to encourage His servants to be faithful in their ministry. Since arriving in Puerto Rico, God has truly expanded our ministry beyond our imagination and our human capabilities, and He alone deserves the glory. Now, as we prepare once again to return to our ministry base in Puerto Rico, we encourage you to participate in God's global plan for worldwide ministry through preaching His gospel, teaching His word, and testifying about His great work wherever He leads you. Participate through your local church ministries, both in public and in private. Participate through caring for and praying for those who are serving in other countries. And enjoy the opportunity to see God expand your ministry influence to the uttermost parts of the earth.
Well, dear friends, I hope that that gives you an idea of what the Lord has been doing in our lives and allowed us to participate in doing there in the ministry in Puerto Rico. Well, while we're with you here tonight, we want you to understand that we want to minister to you. And that may mean that you have some questions that we can answer. And so as I mentioned earlier, if you can communicate with Pastor Andy, whether through Facebook Live or sending him a text message, we're going to try and do something a little different and have a question and answer by way of the internet. And we'll see if we can get this to match up. But we'd like to make sure that you understand what our ministry is about, who we're serving, and what we're doing for our Lord as we serve Him. Now, while you're thinking of questions, let me just fill you in a few details. It was in January, just before we departed as a family to come back to the States for our furlough, that the largest of the earthquakes struck Puerto Rico at a 6.4. We were still on the island. We were still ministering. And obviously, since that point, if anybody has been following the news, Puerto Rico has continued to be hit with many earthquakes. Some are aftershocks, but all of them are making an impact on the island. The epicenter of those earthquakes is about 15 miles away from our home and our church. We're very thankful to share that our church people are reporting currently that their homes may be revealing some cracks, and their buildings are cement. And so that can be a little dangerous if those cracks get too large. But up till now, even with any effects of cracks, anything like that that's taken place, it's not been grave and not overly serious. But please continue to keep Puerto Rico in prayer. our ministry in prayer for the physical needs that things like hurricanes or earthquakes may produce. Obviously, we've been talking about the coronavirus over these last few months. It's affected our ministry here in the States, obviously affecting us here this evening. And there, it's affecting the ministry as well. I'm very thankful to say that the Lord has used technology for me to be able to continue to communicate with our people. I've been preaching on Sundays and preaching on Wednesdays, providing YouTube videos for our people there in Puerto Rico to encourage them in God's word during this time. But 2 weeks ago, two Sundays ago, they were finally able to once again gather as a body together. And I'm thankful to share with you that they did that. They did it again last week. They were there again this morning. And this morning, the announcement was made. Decisions were made yesterday while I was traveling here to New Jersey that an announcement would be made today that as of next Sunday evening services would commence. And even before that, our Wednesday evening prayer time and Bible study would start this coming Wednesday. I know that you all and Pastor are making some difficult choices on the timing of things, and we've been trying to do the same just from a distance and trying to gather the information that we need, and we're very thankful to share with you that those are the stages that we're looking at currently. Obviously, things can change at any moment. And so having all of that as a synopsis, we're going to be here really till January. Our son, our oldest son, Jeremiah, some of you may remember him from the first times we were here when he was a little baby. Well, he's not a little baby anymore. He's kind of bigger than me, which, again, is not very hard, but he is now grown. He'll be turning 18 next week and looking at starting at Maranatha Baptist Bible College, focusing in youth ministry. Please keep him in prayer. And if you'll think about it, keep his parents in prayer as well, because we're the ones who are going to be leaving him behind. And so we're very thankful for what the Lord is doing. Joliana is doing well. And Joshua is doing well, and they're looking forward to returning to Puerto Rico with us just as soon as we finish our furlough meetings. I do have a few questions here, so why don't we go ahead and make sure that we answer those as we go along, and then we're going to get to God's word and make sure that we have a little bit of time of encouragement as we come to the end. The first question that I have here that maybe I can help answer is, how far are the epicenter from your church? It's approximately 15 miles. There's actually a larger city. If you're looking at the map of Puerto Rico, there's the city of Ponce, which is just west of Juana Díaz. We're in Juana Díaz. The epicenter is just on the western side of Ponce. So Ponce, the larger city where we do some of our shopping, has been affected. Buildings have collapsed. Many of them are older structures, but even government buildings, schools have been in jeopardy, and it is a concern. As I've said, I have actually seen in Juana Díaz before we left some buildings being affected in Juana Díaz. Our shopping center, there was a front brick facade that collapsed after the 6.4 earthquake. But thankfully, there's nothing that has affected our church and our church people specifically. What I'm saying is they're sleeping safely tonight, and we're thankful for that. But please continue to keep them in prayer. As we have another question here about the COVID circumstance, I was sharing with Pastor before the service and some of our fellowship and learning how you all have been adjusting to these different circumstances. Puerto Rico has also had to make some adjustments. There have not been that many cases. There have been cases, but the majority of them been up in the San Juan area. And as far as the information that I have, really a lot of the people that have brought or been sick with COVID actually came off of cruise ships. And then they got into groups such as bars or other activities that had larger crowds, and then it began to spread. And because much of that activity actually takes place up on the northern side, up in the San Juan capital area, we have had some COVID in our area, in our town. In fact, I have one of our church members is a nurse, and she was informed that one in particular, if not several other possibilities, but one of her patients was actually diagnosed with COVID about 24 hours after she had treated that patient, which put her and her family on alert. I'm very thankful to share with you that our church people have not personally, that is, their families have not been affected by COVID. However, Puerto Rico has been under very strict restrictions, including curfews at night, including if you go outside your home at any time, you must have a mask. In many cases, you have to wear gloves, and that has continued. In fact, the pastors covering for me there in the ministry over the last several weeks have been preaching with a mask on, which is very difficult for us preachers. And so you continue to pray about those things kind of lessening. But as I said earlier, I'm very thankful that the curfew has been lessened so that now we can have our evening services. Another question that has come here is, what books would you recommend for personal Bible study? Well, let me just suggest this one first. It's called the Bible. And I'll say that, and I don't say it meanly. I say it kindly. Because here's one of the difficulties. I have had the privilege of doing some writing. And I have no problem. You may take a look, and I would encourage you, if you wish, to take a look at walkinginthewordministries.net. We have material in English and Spanish. But you know, out of all of those materials that we have, which many of them are Bible study materials, the focus, even in the text, is the quoting of Scripture. And so as we think about the idea of Bible study, the real goal, whether you find one author over another author, the real goal is that everything that is laid out is actually directing you back to this book, because this is God's library for all of our needs. Now, I could obviously give some different authors or suggest some things, but I'm going to stay limited to the general answer of communicate with your pastor, but then as you're evaluating books, as you're evaluating those materials, and part of the reason why I'm not giving authors is, please understand, I've been out of the country and out of the English side of the ministry for 14 years. And so I easily could end up mentioning an author that I didn't know wrote something, or maybe I'd miss an author that is your favorite. And I don't want to do that. So what I'm saying is the foundation has to be this. As you open up any given book, the Scriptures have got to be referred to constantly. And if there's questions, which I highly encourage questions in a Bible study book so that you're actually analyzing what it's saying, those should have references that you go directly, not necessarily always back to the text of the book, but to the text of Scripture. And one of the patterns that I use and I've written on is 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, the four steps that we find there, the purpose of the Scriptures being inspired for us. So let's move along a little bit more. What books would you recommend about missions? Well, that's a little bit prejudiced because I actually have some material on missions. Once again, you can take a look at the webpage. But there are some other interesting materials or beneficial materials with regards to missionary biographies. Now, one of the things that I'll mention about missionary biographies is that for many years, I didn't read many missionary biographies because I was always concerned that if you pick up the wrong one, one that is more storytelling rather than personal revealing, you'll find that you interact with missionary biographies that hit the highlights but don't reveal the reality of the struggles that missionary faced. Let me give you one that I really believe is beneficial. And the name is going to slip me now. You've asked some good questions, and unfortunately, my brain doesn't always work with names. But the Spiritual Secret of Hudson Taylor. That is one of the books that when I read it, really encouraged me, and I've included it actually as part of the text that my mission students that I teach at the Bible College have to read. I found a copy in Spanish, and they need to read that. So that's something I would strongly encourage you to look at along those lines. Now, with regards to missions, what I'm encouraging you to do is find something that both reveals the highlights, in other words, the blessings, but also talks about, like Paul does throughout 2 Corinthians, the spiritual struggles and the spiritual solutions. And that's really what the Spiritual Secret of Hudson Taylor talks about, and it's a huge blessing it was to me personally. Now, how long did we go without power after Hurricane Maria is a question. Great question. There's a long story to this, and I'm going to try and cut it back. But thankfully, somebody purchased a generator for my family 2 weeks before Hurricane Maria hit. And the reason for that is that there's another hurricane that many of us don't talk about. It's actually Hurricane Irma. That hurricane hit Puerto Rico 2 weeks to the day before Maria and actually made a major impact to the electricity. I went out a few days earlier, purchased a generator, and left it in the box, planning on returning it to the store and get my refund. And then after we had electricity out for close to 24 hours, I had a friend from the States call me and ask me if I had electricity, if I had a generator. And I explained to him I did not. And so he said, why don't you open the box? And I explained that I wanted to take it back. And he just said, you're not needing to take it back. I will send you a check and I will take care of your needs. That set me and my family up with at least having power for a few hours a day. So when it comes to at least some power, that's your first answer. When it comes to electricity at our home and in a solid base, well, it was semi-solid. It at least came back, was 6 weeks. Solid, in other words, we didn't have interruptions. That went on for several months. And if you noticed in our slides, in our video presentation, one of the things that was damaged at our church was the power pole. It was broken over and broken in half, which meant we didn't have electricity back at our church. I think it was closer up to maybe 4 to 6 months because we couldn't get supplies, and then we had to find a way to get it certified, get it rehooked up to the street. And so it all depended on where you were located and what damage took place for different individuals and different ministries on the island. Hopefully that answers your question on that. Another one, is crime a problem in your location in Puerto Rico? Well, Puerto Rico is 111 miles by 39 miles, which means crime is pretty much a problem everywhere. And so I'm thankful to say that God has provided us with two different German shepherds, which has protected us, together. We've had one German shepherd, and then now we have a second one. And our dogs have actually protected us from serious danger, individuals that would have caused bodily harm to our family. However, in a general sense, crime is on a regular basis in the news. There are things that take place around our home. There are robberies. There are things that take place at our building. Our church has been robbed. All of those things are real. But let me share with you, they're not any more real than anything that could happen to you. And we just simply go about our daily life trusting God with those physical needs, just like we would encourage others to trust God with a financial need or a spiritual need. We'd ask you to pray for us. Pray that in all of the different turmoils that Puerto Rico faces, as well as America, that we would pray for protection, that we would pray as the Apostle Paul did, because not all people have faith. They don't all believe in God, and therefore there are dangers. I don't believe that at this time there is anybody who's specifically targeting my family or our ministry, and so that's something I'm very thankful for, because the Apostle Paul had those things happen in his life. But there are dangers of crime, and there are certain times of day or certain circumstances, depending on what is happening around our home, that we do limit when my family may go out and do certain things. But for the most part, God has been good to us for 14 years, and we're going to trust He'll continue to do so. One last question. Let's get to God's Word. The question here is, when you preach in Puerto Rico, what language do you use? English, Spanish, or both? Very good question. Our ministry is 100% Spanish. And so I preach in Spanish universally. However, there have been times where I have translated for myself. I have spoken in Spanish, and then I will translate back in English. We did that for a period of time when we had a man who had moved to Puerto Rico to retire. His wife was from Juana Díaz. She spoke Spanish fluently, but this gentleman was from Pennsylvania, and he didn't speak any Spanish. And I could just see during the services, he was kind of really sad because he didn't understand the preaching of God's Word. And so what I did is I made a deal with him in agreement with our church that on Sunday evenings and Wednesdays, I would translate for myself. I would speak bilingually. But in the Sunday morning services, we would preach 100% in Spanish so that if any visitor would attend, they would never be scared or they would never be distracted from the message of God's Word. Because that is the primary purpose of our local church. Now, there are people that have come to our church that speak English, and we enjoy the privilege. But on our side of the island, Spanish is most definitely the prominent language. And so we want to speak to each individual in their heart language, sharing God's blessed love in the same language that their mom or their dad would say, "I love you," when they were a child. And that's kind of how we've gone about our ministry. We've used English as a second language. Laura had an opportunity just before we returned here to the States for furlough. She had an opportunity to teach two young ladies, one who had just gotten saved. Another one was a neighbor of our church. And we were trying to see the gospel kind of be sown into her life through teaching her some English because she was needing to move to the States. And so it is a ministry that we try and use both when it's needed, but the focus of our ministry is in Spanish. Having said all of that and taken some of your questions, hopefully you have a little bit more of an understanding of our life, our ministry. We would be more than encouraged and blessed to communicate with you more directly. You can feel free when you're able to return here to the building. We were able to drop off with Pastor some prayer cards, and some of you already know our email address. please feel free to communicate with us. We'll do the best we can to communicate back as quickly as possible with some good sound answers and be an encouragement. That would include, by the way, according to your pastor's direction, any, as you had asked, some questions about Bible study or missions work. Perhaps there would be a few other things that we might suggest. But I do always want to encourage you. Your pastor has a library full of some of those sources. So I want to encourage you to check with him, because he probably could help you out similarly to the way that I could. We want to help, and we're happy to do so. But here tonight, I think the best way to help you is to make sure that we open God's Word. So please open your Bibles to Psalm 23 to get started. And I'm going to move very quickly through the beginning part of this. If we had about 3 hours, I think maybe I'd be able to touch on my entire outline. But I know that that's not the case for us here this evening. And I want to be an encouragement and not a discouragement. So open your Bible, please, to Psalm 23 and verse number 1. And just notice with me, the Bible says in verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Now, in just a few moments, we're going to turn to the New Testament. But I want you to recognize the heart of the psalmist as he recognizes that the reason why he doesn't have a need or that he doesn't want something is because he has a shepherd, somebody to care for him, as we read through the rest of this portion. And I'd like to do so because I want it to be an encouragement to you tonight. Perhaps you're listening to me and you're recognizing that your world has been turned upside down. Maybe there are some needs that you personally feel. Maybe you are burdened emotionally and spiritually, maybe financially or in your family. I want this to start out as an encouragement for you to recognize that you have a shepherd who cares for you in all of these circumstances. And then at the end, I want to also edify you to participate in sharing your shepherd with those who don't have a shepherd, but are living around you. Notice what it says in verse 2. "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul." Have you felt like in the last 3 months, your soul has kind of been crushed? Your energy has been sucked from you? You woke up in the morning and thought, "What am I going to do? I have nowhere to go and nothing to do. And I want to see somebody's face. I just want to reach out and give a good handshake. I just want to see a smile." But I can't, because everybody's protecting their faces. Here the Bible says that our shepherd wants to restore our souls. He wants to encourage our hearts. Notice what it says, continuing in verse 3. "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He guides me in right living so that his name is uplifted. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of the corona." Oh, I misread that. I'm sorry. It says through the shadow of death. "Though I go through any circumstance that could very well produce damage physically to my body." The Bible says, "I will fear no evil." I don't have to fear what is going on around me. Why don't I have to fear? It's not because I'm strong. It's not because I have everything in control, but because I have a shepherd who's watching out for me. And he cares for me. And he says very plainly in verse number 4, "For thou art with me." God is with me. I can tell you what it's like to go through a hurricane for 14 hours. I can tell you what it's like to drive around following that hurricane, to see the destruction and have your church people, as you go to check on them the next day, just come out of their homes and weep and fall into your arms. I can tell you what it's like to see the fear on people's faces as their homes had been shaken and there was insecurity to the extent that they were sleeping outside. But I can also tell you the peace that comes to recognize that when God is with me, there is nothing that can touch me without his permission. It is not because of who I am, it's because of who he is and what he has promised me. And he's made the same promises to you that he's made to me. He's our shepherd. And he watches over us. Continue with me in what it says here. "I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over." I would love to pause and go through the beautiful picture of God's care through each of these points. And I won't take the time to do so tonight. But I encourage you to consider them. Verse number 6. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now, I want you to understand, in Bible times, in the time that this was being written, the house of the Lord was the tabernacle, and it was understood that that's where God was. But here today, we recognize that although we may not be able to enter the house of the Lord, as we call it, the church building, which is not the church, it is simply a location for us to gather as the church, we can be assured that whether or not we are at home, or we are shopping, or we are on the road, or we are facing any other circumstance in any other location, if God could be with Jonah, He can be with us, and that location is the house of the Lord if we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, because that is the location in our own body the Holy Spirit dwells. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So as long as we are living for God, we can enjoy His presence. Once again, I share with you that there is so much more that we can talk about in these passages, in these verses. Now, if you will, please go with me to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, we find Jesus Christ sharing with us that He is the Good Shepherd. Once again, I don't have time to stop with every point. I just want to use it as a reference of encouragement. I realize this, that I could challenge you to serve God, but if you're discouraged, you won't do it. I could even lay out for you a plan and a program, but if you're disheartened, you won't follow it. Your pastor can preach to you. There can be people with needs all around you, and you won't even see them. It was attested to me at one point about the Holocaust, that those who went into the prison camps in the Holocaust, the first couple of days, they couldn't eat, they couldn't sleep because all of the pain and suffering that was all around them. But after a few days, when they realized that it was just a matter of survival, then all of those individuals, even those bodies that were around them and the illnesses, they meant nothing. They couldn't even really see them. And why is that? It's because when we are hurting, we become self-focused. And so I want to stop here this evening, and simply encourage you not to be self-focused because somebody else is focusing on you. Your good shepherd is focusing on you. Notice with me what the Bible says in John chapter 10. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come, Jesus is speaking, that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. The they is us. Verse number 11, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not a shepherd, whose own sheep the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth him and scattereth the sheep, and the hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd. It is not just that we should read these passages with a religious, romantic philosophy. This is not just some painting to put on the wall. This is the truth and reality of our lives. We have a shepherd who cares for us to the extent that the Bible says in verse 14, continue on, and I know my sheep. God knows who I am. God knows where I was during the eye of the storm, huddled in a closet with my family. God knew where I was when I was sleeping in the middle of the night being shaken by an earthquake. God knows where you are facing any illness, any difficulties that you're facing economically, emotionally, familially. God knows and He cares and He knows your name. One of the greatest times of sorrow is when we lay our heads down on our pillows at night and find very little sleep. But the Bible says that when we focus on God, we have His perfect peace given to us. The psalmist declares that we can finally rest, knowing that God will care for us until the morning and through the next problems that we may face. He is a good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known of mine. Verse 15, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. There are still individuals that God wants to bring into the sheepfold. This specifically was talking about the Gentiles, you and me, compared to the Jews. But we must understand that if we are still here today, there are sheep that are out there that God is calling to enter His sheepfold, and He has sent us out as ambassadors to share with them that there is a good shepherd of their soul who will love them and care for them. Notice with me verse 16, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Jump with me to verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Dear friends, dear brothers and sisters in Christ tonight, If you are one of his children, then Jesus Christ in this passage says that you are one of his sheep. And if, as one of his sheep, he tells us that we are in the palm of his hand, and there is nobody and nothing that can get us out of that palm. And for that reason, you and I can have hope, and we can have peace where there is no peace and where the world has no hope. The Bible tells us very plainly that there was a time that we were not of the sheepfold of God. Think with me to Isaiah 53. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus Christ gave his life. Why? So that we can be secure as one of his sheep, as one of God's children. And he will care for us, and nobody can touch us. Just like Job could not be touched by Satan until God gave permission. You say, Pastor Markle, you've spent a lot of time, and in reality, I've only given you the introduction. Now let's get to a little application. Please, if you will, look with me at Matthew in chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. The Bible says in verse 36, "But when he saw the multitude," speaking of Jesus, "he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad." And notice, up until this point this evening, we have been talking about the idea, the truth, that we have a good shepherd. But notice what Jesus says about the people that were coming out to him, the multitudes from the cities. He says this: "They were scattered abroad. They fainted as sheep having no shepherd." Have you looked into the eyes of your neighbors recently? Perhaps you've listened to your coworkers. Have you talked to family members? Have you listened to their despair? As the world is being turned upside down, have you noticed that there is a lack of life behind their eyes? Following Hurricane Maria for months, I would say 6 to 9 months, there was something that we started to talk about. It was the Maria look. It was the eyes that everybody was still living in shock. There was almost no life. You would see people in the grocery store looking for food, but you could see that there was a face of despair. There was no hope. And why was that? It was because they were fainting. And they were scattered abroad. And they had no spiritual shepherd to care for them. Now in verse number 35, please understand, I'm not trying to take this out of context. The Bible says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom." Jesus was teaching, he was preaching, and then it says, "and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." Jesus cared about these individuals. He loved them, he cared for them. But he noticed that they didn't have spiritual guidance. They didn't have security where they truly needed it. If we go on just a little bit further into this very same passage, look with me at verse 37. "Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." Why was he saying that? Well, because multitudes, not just one multitude, but many multitudes, was coming out from the cities, and he could look upon them and he saw the face of despair. He was noticing that there were people who were hurting. And he says to his disciples, "Look, there's a harvest. There's a spiritual work that must be done. But I notice that there's few laborers." Dear friends, the reality is America has changed. There used to be many laborers, many Christians, many churches, but churches are closing, and Christians are a little weary in the battle. And we need to realize that it's our job to be those laborers, and we need to be praying. Now, I'm going to get a little personal. I've already testified to the idea that I am sending my son back to the States for the purpose of entering the school of ministry. But I have had to resign, and I will have to continue to resign in my heart and in my family, that I have given my children over to God wherever he will send them. My daughter has been talking about being a missionary in Europe. She's even wanting to start learning other languages. God has a plan and a program, and if I'm going to pray that God will send forth laborers, I need to be ready that he starts with my children and perhaps my grandchildren, if God so chooses to give them to me. Pray the Lord of the harvest, the Bible says in verse number 38, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers in the harvest field." We've heard that passage so many times. But what is so often missed is that's the end of chapter 9. In chapter 10, what happens? Jesus Christ says to his disciples, pray that God will send forth laborers. And then in chapter 10, he calls 12 of those disciples and he calls them apostles, which by definition is sent one. And he sends them out and they go and preach. So when you start to pray, be ready for God to be sending you forth. Now, if you'll jump with me to one more passage as we come to a closing. Notice with me in Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, I briefly give you context starting in verse number 30. Just so you understand, this is the account of the apostles returning after they've been sent out by Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 10. Then the Bible says, and the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. So the apostles went out and they did the ministry and they're excited and they come back. And notice what the Bible says in verse 31. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there are many coming and going. They had no leisure so much as to eat. Jesus Christ looks upon his apostles who were tired and weary but excited. And he knew that the excitement, the mountaintime experience of preaching God's word was going to come into a valley. The energy was going to lack. The spiritual strength was going to start to wane as hunger set in. Because the Bible says that they were so busy, they didn't even have time to eat. So Jesus says, listen, my dear, dear sheep, you've been laboring for me and now I care for you. Will you please come and take some nourishment. We need to get away for a short time. Have you ever felt like you needed to get away? You're exhausted? I have. In fact, right after the hurricane, it was the second day after the hurricane. The first day after the hurricane, I drove around in a four-wheel drive older Jeep with my family trying to find our church members to make sure they were safe. Moving roofs from the street and moving debris to make sure our people were okay. And I went to bed that night exhausted. No electricity, no water, no air conditioning in the heat of Puerto Rico, windows open. Went to sleep because of exhaustion. I woke up the next morning to the voices of my neighbors. My neighbors were hollering one to the other, so I went to the window and I said, what are you doing? What are you talking about? One of my neighbors said, listen, we have a neighbor up the road who has a flatbed truck who works at a farm. Come on out. We're going to gather up the rubble, all the damage, the sheds that have been blown apart, the garage doors destroyed, the trees knocked down. We're going to start cleaning up our neighborhood. And I have to confess, I wasn't very spiritual that day. I was weary. I was hungry. I was hot. I was tired. I looked at my neighbor and I said, don't tell anybody, but I said in Spanish, I don't feel like it. And I went back to bed. Just a few moments later, you can imagine the hand of God on my heart. There was not going to be any rest that day. And God said to me, not in an audible voice, but it was pretty close, what in the world are you doing? Well, I could have answered him audibly, but I knew that that wouldn't be the right response. So I just got out of bed. I crawled out of bed and I realized, and this was what made me realize it was time to get up. It was this thought that God convicted me of. These are the neighbors that you have been praying for and that you have been trying to get the gospel to. What better opportunity you will have to work hand in hand with them right now, today, than perhaps any time in the past and any time in the future. And with that strength and the motivation of the Holy Spirit, myself and my oldest son worked all day in the rain with a chainsaw, cutting down trees, trying to protect people's home from more damage. Returned late that night, no electricity, no water for showers, but God allowed it to rain so that I could get a shower with the downspout water. You see, folks, I understand this idea of no leisure because the chainsaw really didn't exit my hand for weeks. The labor of working with people and then distributing food as we gave testimony didn't end for weeks and months. The construction of our building just ended in November. But God is the one who strengthens us. Notice what the Bible says in verse 32, and they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him and ran afoot thither out of all cities and outwent them and came together unto him. So here he says, let's go get a break. Let's get a Big Mac. And by the time he got to the store to get some food, the people were already lined up. You ever feel like that? I don't know about you, but I've had to stand in lines once again, trying to get into Walmart. They only let so many people in the store. I felt like I was back in the hurricane. But thankfully, there's been food on the shelves when I get in the store this time. But you know, the people get there before us. We're weary, we're tired. Notice with me verse 34. And Jesus, not the disciples, but Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. Jesus is constantly moved by individuals who have no spiritual protector and director. The good shepherd wants more to be added to his flock. The good shepherd who cares for you, cares for your neighbor, and wants to invite him to enter his care. And he's using you to give the invitation. Notice what the Bible says Jesus did. Remember, the apostles needed to get away because they had been teaching. And then Jesus, in the end of verse 34, the Bible says, and he began to teach them many things. Now, this is one of those passages that I think every pastor should have put across their pulpit or across the back wall of their church. Because it's our job to keep you as long as we can, teaching you many things. I'm teasing. But the truth of the matter is, Jesus was exhausted. He knew the exhaustion of his disciples. He just told them they needed to get some food and some rest. But he also was burdened for the souls of men. Now, if we continue this story, of which we won't do verse by verse, but you will find that after Jesus taught them many things, the disciples returned to Jesus and said, Jesus, don't you realize you should probably send these people home? It's late in the day. So Jesus taught them all day after being tired. And the apostles are saying, I thought we were getting vacation. And Jesus says, okay, why don't you have those 5,000 people sit down? Because apostles, you're not done working. You know, I have to be honest. There have been times in my ministry, as I've already confessed tonight, that I've thought I was done working. I thought I was at the end. I thought I was exhausted and I couldn't go any further. And then God comes. He touches my heart. And he shows me that there are people with no shepherd. There are people who need to be ministered to. And then he says to me, I know that you don't have the supply to do the ministering, but we're going to take a few loaves, we're going to take a few fish, and we're going to miraculously not just multiply the loaves and fish, but remember, you're talking about disciples, apostles who are exhausted. I believe God did something else that day that was miraculous. He multiplied the strength of the apostles, the physical stamina. Because it was the apostles who fed 5,000 people. That's a lot. It's a lot of walking. It's a lot of carrying. And then they gathered the food at the end. Dear friends, we need to be ready to teach many things and to be called upon by God to serve many people, even during these difficult times that we are living in. Because there are people who have no sheep, no shepherd. Dear friend, if you are a sheep, you've accepted Christ as your Savior, will you please, please remember the beginning of Psalm 23 and remember John 10 and love your shepherd and then accept his heart for those around you and teach them many things about how much he loves them. That's our goal in Puerto Rico. And I know that that is your passion right here. I ask you, will you pray for the Lord to send forth more laborers? And will you also be ready to be one of those laborers? Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your word and the clarity of your scriptures. I thank you for the example of Jesus Christ and his apostles. I thank you that you are my shepherd, because there are often times that in my flesh I want, and I must be reminded that there is nothing that I need that you do not supply. Dear God, if I am speaking to one here tonight who is struggling with their wants and struggling with their needs, I ask that they will be reminded of your care. I ask that you will comfort them with your presence. If there is one here tonight who doesn't know you as a good shepherd as of yet, I ask that they would accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, the sacrifice that he made for them on the cross. that they might experience the peace of having their sin paid for and the guarantee of a home in heaven. But that heavenly home doesn't start when they die from this earth. It starts right here, right now, with the confidence that we have a shepherd who will lead us to calm springs of water and green pastures. Dear God, I ask you for your blessing upon this ministry, and I thank you for its faithfulness. In your name, amen.